Okay, three, two.
Three, two, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Coming up on the show, we talk to journalist and professor John Ackerman, who happens to be a man, who happens to be in Mexico, who we happen to be talking to. If you want to put those three things together and come up with some paranoid, schizophrenic, Wawa land conspiracy theory, that's your mess. Anyway, but first, listen to my voice. There are palm trees on the horizon. The sun is shining. You're feeling sleepy now. You want to give me all your worldly possessions. That's because you are under the sway of my voice, my powerful voice. Nobody can resist. Hypnotized. Stacy, what's going on?
Yes, Max. Apparently, your voice, your face, your expressions, you, Max Kaiser, are so all-powerful that even just reading this headline is going to weaponize it. This is a headline from Reuters, you know, a big American news agency. And I'm going to read this headline. Before I read it, it's just a simple headline. After I read it, it is all powerful. And you will be convinced by my reading this headline to give up your free will. Exclusive. Mexican leftist has 11-point lead ahead of 2018 election. This is according to Reuters and a poll that was done for them in early December. It was a simple headline that didn't get much attention in the United States, but now that we have read it, it is now officially weaponized.
Yeah, I'm feeling the pain, the sting, the excruciation coming from your words, the piercing my cognitive abilities, and I can no longer think. I'm a slug. You know, I guess what you're referring to is that any mention of the election in Mexico that doesn't favor a certain cadre of folks is attacked. You know, listen, folks, you have to have an open discussion. I mean, what do you think? We're in the United Kingdom where they have PERDO laws that exclude any discussion of politics for 6 years before any election?
There's two things. First of all, there's almost nowhere safe to go for any public discourse. It used to be that just half the population hounded you constantly about 9/11. 9/11 was an inside job, wasn't it? 9/11 was an inside job. 9/11, 9/11, 9/11. And then now it's Russia, 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 Putin, 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 Putin. I looked into his eyes and I saw his soul, and my soul is now destroyed. And I sold it to him. I sold him my soul and all of this sort of stuff. But nevertheless, the headlines continue, and this poll is showing that 31% of those asked in Mexico who they would vote for in the election were held today would choose López Obrador, followed by the former finance minister, José Antonio Meade. I don't know how to pronounce it. We'll find out from our guest. He's seeking the nomination for the ruling Institutional Revolutionary Party on 20%. So there's an 11-point gap in the latest poll. So John Ackerman, we first started interviewing you on Kaya's Report when you were based out of Paris. We were making the show in Paris. That was like 4 years ago that we interviewed you. And of course, we were interviewing you because we cover heterodox economics. We look at opinion outside of the mainstream, and pretty much the mainstream is neoliberal economics. And you had a lot of interesting things. And well, you still have a lot of interesting things to say about neoliberal economics and how bad it is. What is your opinion about these polls? What's going on? Why are people rejecting neoliberal economics, or is this something else happening?
Well, we have right now in Mexico is an incredible level of paranoia, as you guys were mentioning, about the supposed Russian intervention in our elections. And you guys are accused of being agents of Putin and using me to control politics in Mexico and make López Obrador win. It's quite incredible, the level of hysteria. And it's also very sad, Stacey and Max, because Mexico had, and actually it still is, and that's been very interesting, the response of the people to these kinds of crazy attacks. Mexico had been and continues to be kind of isolated from this Cold War hysteria. And not only now, but during the Cold War itself, Mexico always has been, capitalist, has always been on, the liberal, neoliberal side of the global conflict. But also, Mexico has been, you know, very independent in its foreign policy, always, you know, working closely with Cuba, recognizing the sovereignty of nations, and had a very much of an independent foreign policy, not subordinated to the United States as many other countries in Latin America and the world. And so actually, we have this political culture in Mexico, which is very open and plural and ready to embrace different points of view. That's why, you know, RT, as well as BBC and the CNN and Transbancat and Deutsche Welle and Al Jazeera and Telesur have been very welcome additions to the media landscape here in Mexico, and especially because we have an incredible censorship and control over the media. So for the last, you know, 4 or 5 days, the most supported by money and power television morning news show has been daily beating at the idea that supposedly López Obrador is supported by Putin and that I'm his agent in Mexico because of one program that Max referred to me as a man in Mexico. You're a man in Mexico. So it's really quite hilarious, and I think people just don't have any idea of who you guys are, what RT is all about, and they surprisingly sort of just buy up these lies being spread by the Trump administration. Imagine that, Mexicans buying into the Trump narrative, Trump who has called, you know, Latin Americans and Africans, you know, whole countries. And in particular, he has gone directly at Mexico with this building of a wall, wants to cut off NAFTA, calls us rapists and criminals. But those very same, some of them, you know, these sort of supposedly modern intellectuals who criticize Trump are now buying into this ridiculous narrative spouted out by the Atlantic Council and by the security establishment in Washington. All really shows to me is that there's...
Well, first of all, nobody reports my first choice for Mexican president would be Frito Bandito. Frito bandito, but anyway, you know, I can prove this is propaganda or agitprop because they're simply using the flag and my name symbolically, but not in any practical sense. You know how I can prove that is that no one has ever called me, not a single media outlet in Mexico or the United States or anywhere in the world during this period of hysteria that you described that I'm completely unaware of. When you say that our show was mentioned or I mentioned, this is the first I'm hearing about it because actually no one has bothered to call me. That proves to me that this is simply a propaganda. In propaganda, you use symbols, you use catchphrases, you use certain words that trigger emotion. So it's obviously patently propaganda. And it's like I said, my first choice is the Frito Bandito.
That's good, Max. I think you're actually right. It's a good point that nobody has called you to actually research and investigate this case and to be aware that, you know, you guys are serious journalists. And for me to be on your show is a real honor for me. And that we're doing some serious analysis here, which unfortunately doesn't happen in most of the mainstream media in Mexico, in the United States, and throughout the world. The problem here is that people are really, it's not just about the Cold War hysteria, it's also this whole change of the media landscape. In Mexico, at least, the major television companies, in particular Televisa, are used to controlling the message. And they've had to fire like 3,000 people the last few months, fire their most important anchors as well. And they're kind of desperate because they're realizing that the social networks are really taking control. And in the social networks, there's an incredible plurality, which actually allows people to think for themselves by getting different points of view. And so that's what's really scaring them. And that's why they're making up this propaganda.
Of course, we in America remember that it was Peña Nieto who kind of gave Donald Trump his legitimacy on the world stage when candidate Trump was invited to Mexico to visit Peña Nieto at the presidential palace in Mexico. So, but we'll let that one go. So let's talk about what in particular the Atlantic Council might be afraid of López Obrador. What are his actual policies? What would upset them? Like what in his economic policies, what does he plan on doing with the whole Pemex reform program? What's going on there?
Well, actually, not a whole lot. First of all, about the issue of the Peña Nieto intervention, that's we've talked about before on your program, the RT program, that actually, if there was a foreign government intervention in the U.S. elections, that government was the Mexican government, who explicitly, publicly supported Peña Nieto, Mexican President Trump, during his campaign. And so that was the real intervention. And right now, Trump and Peña Nieto are the ones who are working together trying to cut off the possibility for real democracy in Mexico. That's the real foreign intervention on both sides, both Mexico towards the United States and the United States towards Mexico. But specifically about López Obrador, you know, I'm a supporter of him. I'm not part of his campaign. I write frequently. I've endorsed him because I think of him as the man, the only man perhaps, who can, you know, save institutions and the rule of law in Mexico. People try to call him a radical populist nationalist in the style of Chavez or Trump, but he's neither like Trump nor like Chavez. He's a Roosevelt Democrat. When he was in Los Angeles a few months ago visiting Mexicans there, he quoted copiously and with great admiration Franklin Roosevelt. Those are his policies. Yeah, welfare state, trying to control rampant out of control neoliberalism, trying to give scholarships to students, build roads, build hospitals and schools, regulate the economy in accord with, capitalist principles, of course. He's not a radical, he's not a populist, but he is, if he were to arrive, from my point of view, it would make a massive change, because the way we are living today in Mexico today is just through this sort of collapse of institutionality, incredible corruption. You know, this is last year, Mexico had as many journalists assassinated as Syria, 12. We've had 111 in the last decade. This country is really kind of falling apart, and we need someone to, beef up institutions, have a good relationship with the United States, especially the United States people and also the government, and, try to move forward as a country instead of keep falling down to this hole of corruption and violence and economic collapse through neoliberalism.
Okay, for those listening who might not know, who is López Obrador? I do know that he used to be the mayor of Mexico City. He ran for president a few years ago, and it was very close. We don't need to go too much into that, but I do know that there were mass street protests afterward when he was declared not the winner. But how would he approach this NAFTA? Because NAFTA is the big thing coming up that gets a lot of attention right now in the U.S. press that Trump keeps on threatening he's just going to basically completely pull out. What's going to happen with that? How would López Obrador approach NAFTA?
López Obrador has not come out aggressively against NAFTA. What he's said is that we should renegotiate NAFTA so that NAFTA helps the working people and the environment better. There are some side agreements today in NAFTA, both for labor rights and for environmental rights, but they're not that powerful. The more powerful aspects of NAFTA, for instance, is Chapter 11, which really assure the rights of investors. So investors have their rights guaranteed, while workers in the environment don't get the same kind of protection in the agreement as it is today. My point of view is that these should be, we should put them at the same level, or perhaps put the workers in the environment above the investors. That would be a real revolution. That's the kind of stuff López Obrador is talking about. I'm not ending NAFTA. Mexico and the United States are intimately intertwined economically, politically, socially, culturally. No need for an economic war between the two countries. But yes, as it's set up to benefit transnational capital instead of working people, instead of migrants, both sides of the border. I mean, this is something that should be improved, the economic relationship between both countries, not only for improving the Mexican side or just the United States side, but, working people on both sides can be benefited by, rethinking NAFTA in this kind of more social justice view. And so that's the idea.
All right. So the elections are July 1st. And Obrador, according to the polls, is ahead. We've got about 20 seconds, John. Do you think that's going to stay then going into the election?
We'll see. You can't really trust the polls. The last elections, the polls underestimated López Obrador by 10 to 15%. So if the polls are now showing that he's 10% ahead, it's most likely that he's about 20% ahead. So that's a big advantage, only about 5 months ahead of the election. So it's looking good for him, but the Mexican government is incredible in its capacity for fraud and electoral manipulation. Look at Honduras, the recent elections. That could be a dry run for what they want to do in Mexico. It'll be a lot harder because Mexico's a lot bigger country, a lot more conscious, a bigger civil society. And so it's not going to be so easy. We'll see what happens.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Kaiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, John Mill Ackerman.
Until next week.
Bye, y'all.